Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 98 of the Top Loaded Podcast. And yet again, this episode is powered to you by Third Down Space, your number one spot for card supplies, custom card stands, and great preparation kits. Head over to their website or use the link in our bio or the code TTP10 for 10% off. And introducing, we've got a nice stacked lineup tonight. Four members. I can't remember the last time this was on part of the Christmas special, but H, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, mate. Not too bad. Still a bit upset, obviously, with the news about Gunther Steiner in the week. But, you know, one of those things, we live and we learn. But apart from that, apart from our distraught evening after all that was announced, I'm not doing too badly, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Maybe a certain card of the rainbow is going to appear now for maybe $2.99 now.
I'm hoping it's a blessing in disguise. I really am.
And before we introduce the man who has founded and hosted the Southampton Card Show, we have brought his hype man along. Obviously, everyone knows him, this certain person, for the legendary spin wheels on Instagram and obviously on whatnot as well, the one and only DJ. And I'm going to actually, before we get you hyping up, obviously the last member, how are you doing, Paddy?
Yeah, good, Rob. Thanks for having me, boys. Nice to be back on second appearance.
Yeah, as I say, it's been a long old time. And for the first time ever, I'm actually not going to introduce the next guest. Paddy, over to you. I've heard you are the hype man. And this is what it's all down to here. We're all here just for this intro, and then we're all going home. So over to you, Paddy, to introduce the fourth member of tonight's episode.
Part-time educator, part-time sailor, part-time kaboom collector, the creator of the greatest fusion PC in the world, and we have it on good knowledge, he's about to take PSA to court. It's card sales.
Evening, gents. Evening.
Oh, that is brilliant.
But that is literally, I think I might retire at this time. I'm going to sign the rights over it. That is the intro. That is the one.
Well, I need to get a bit better with these intros for me, mate. Look at that.
I'm taking every Monday night off now. I'm just going to get Paddy to do a quick intro for everyone. It's going to be fantastic. But like we say, Martin, thanks for obviously joining us yet again. And how's everything been with you?
Yeah, really good. Really good. I've been down in Barcelona for the last few weeks. So I've been separated from my card cases, which has been really more traumatic than I thought it was going to be. But there's certain websites that have kept me entertained from about 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. Most days whilst I'm at work. So, yeah, all good. All good.
Yeah. As I say, it's probably a completely different website to most people watching or thinking about. But obviously, it's a certain one, which is very interesting. But like we say, obviously, last time you was on, it was just before the last, obviously, the maiden voyage, as you so to speak, in the Southampton Card Show. So just briefly, how did you find that first one go down? Because obviously, it's a learning experience really, as well as obviously being that debut show, which you don't know what to expect or however it plays out.
Yeah, it was a blur. It really was. I've heard you talking with Harry from the London show, and you know, the day or the weekend really starts, and then suddenly you're waking up on Sunday morning absolutely exhausted. Just had the best time it possibly could have been. It was a little bit of a shame because we did have train strikes on, so I know there was a fair few people who wanted to come down who weren't able to, but you know, I try and curate. The vendors are all good people. Thankfully, everyone who turns up are all really good people, and it was just a really good day for the community as well. Which is my aim with it. I don't want to be anything more really than a really good community day, talking about cards and everything else that goes with it.
As I said, there was a lot of talk. I always find it with card shows is, you know, when it's been a good one by the amount of people just talk about it on social media and just through the grapevine. And how did you find it afterwards? Would you quite like, obviously how it went down, but it's a lot of people were talking about it, and a lot of people were like, oh, well, we're definitely going to be going to the next one. That must have been a massive like plus point for you that people were still talking about it afterwards on how well they thought it went.
Yeah. I mean, overwhelmed by all the support that the support he got, all the kind words that everyone had. You know, I've kind of done a grandfather system for tables. So those who supported the first show got first rejection on, or first refusal rather, on tables for the next show. Obviously, there's a couple of guys who can't turn up. mainly because their partners are having babies. But everybody else is snapping up the tables. Still got a few more possible vendor spots. I've increased the number of tables from about 80 to, we've got about 94 this time. So a little increase, but I don't want it to get, you know, everyone enjoyed that there was space to walk around the room, there was space to talk. It wasn't jam-packed in there, and I don't want it to be like a rat run and, just space and time, and it was a good atmosphere. It was loved it, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no, like I say, it went down such a, and I know a lot of people were already trying to book out the local hotels, especially the ease of staying in the same venue as what the actual show is, so they can stumble up to their room. Not promoting alcoholic beverages, but I did see a certain El Toro who's listening along to this having a few beers at his table. So obviously that's quite a different one as well, experience having a bar available at the show. So how did you find that went down as well?
Yeah, I mean, because for vendors, setup starts at 7 a.m. So it was kind of to encourage people to be there on the Friday night. Mm. A few people, you know, five or six different groups went out for dinner and then met back in the hotel lobby, had a couple of drinks there, opened a few boxes, a few trades went down. And then yeah, you're just back upstairs into the hotel. It's the same for people who are attending the show. You know, come on the Friday night, stay, enjoy the Friday night. And then on the Saturday, if you think mid-afternoon, or maybe I'll go up for a snooze for an hour, it's just there. It's just so easy. It's one of the big things that I found with the US shows. The first couple I tried to stay off-site because the hotels are a little bit cheaper. But then once you stay in the venue, it's a game changer.
Yeah, I think that's what we see a lot, especially I haven't yet experienced an American experience for the card shows, but we see it a lot in videos, and it's the ease of then people, even when it gets to like midnight, whereas if you're staying offsite, you're a bit like, oh, I need to go now. Whereas if it's down in the lobby, you see them until they're literally getting kicked out by the police. Sometimes I've seen it that they're literally holding on to the last second, getting deals in, which just brings it a whole different experience to card show. And yeah, again, it's all about the people at the end of the day, just having a good time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, my last time over in Dallas in November, the police came in and semi-shut down the trade night because all the hallways were just filled with people with cases out, and so everyone kind of dispersed back to their rooms. Police left, and then everyone just came back down again. It was interesting. But it's such a good day, such a good day. And I know that I'm the host and I've got a hype man for it as well. But it's such a warm community day, and it's exactly what I hoped it would be. But yeah, on to the next one.
As I was saying, that's perfect intro. It's actually going to come over to the hype man himself right now. Obviously, 2nd of March is the next show down at Novotel Hotel in Southampton. But Paddy, For people who might be a bit cautious, because a lot of things are mostly split, TCG, sports, and it's all at the same place. What benefits do you think really is of having that sports-only show in comparison to having a lot more stalls there, but obviously a lot being TCG rather than the sports market?
Well, the DJ has got to look after his friends in the TCG community. I can't come after them. But what I can tell you is, you're coming to a card show where we have live sport on the TV during the day. So the last game, we actually had the Southampton game. It was an early kickoff. So you've got that in the background. Humongous screen. You can watch that during the show. Then we had the Ryder Cup on, Martin, I think. Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
Ryder Cup. That's a great talking point. And, I mean, I've done a lot of card shows in the UK. Loved all of them. But the one that Southampton is set apart because you can chat to people. You can have chats with vendors. It's not packed. You're not elbowed away or elbow. If you're carrying a case, you're not knocking into people. You can go up to people's tables and have a chat with them. Maybe people you've never met before, who you've just seen on Instagram or talked to on Instagram. You can build relationships and have a chat because it's not 100% packed. So that's one of the facts I like about it.
Yeah,
he's just absolutely sold the show.
It's unbelievable. It's
that's the sales pitch right there.
And I mean, it is very boozy. It's very boozy. It's a boozy show.
It's not a boozy show.
It's a boozy show.
But the venue can actually hold 100 more people than I want to have in there. I've actually set the ticket limit at 100 less than capacity to keep that space, to keep that kind of feel of, you know, having time, having being able to look through a value box and people not like jumping into a section in front of you kind of thing.
Mm. I was going to say, that's a massive one as well, is the building the rapport between sellers, breakers, whoever it may be, and obviously come over to UH, that sometimes it shows, but it's always about the people. And I think that's what a lot of people really like about trade shows, other shows, is that that's a more personal time where you get to talk to people. So having that option, hey, it's a brilliant one to actually learn for people and also learn what they collect as well, because at the end of the day, you all look out for each other at the end of what they buy and sell anyway.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've said it before in here, I think we've all sort of said it before, that the card shows are, as Martin has literally said, predominantly there for the community to meet people, to engage with people that all share the same passion for card collecting. So having the ability to, or the time, should I say, to speak to people on a one-to-one level, with the time, with the space, with sort of the freedom to do so without feeling like you're in someone's way, or you're stood blocking someone's table, or you're outside in the freezing cold if it's in, you know, the winter months. So having that ability to have that freedom there is, you know, is something that people value so much, because you can, you know, speak to me. We've spent, you know, an hour and a half before walking around the whole of London, because you're constantly talking to people left, right and centre. And not that we're influencers or anything, but yeah, it's just having that ability to know you can stand there and talk to somebody or engage with people that are still at tables and not feel like you're in the way with someone, or you know, you've got the chance to have 5 minutes aside. So it definitely is sort of one that you treasure, one that I think, you know, personally Martin's thought out very well in order to sort of bring that more to the forefront.
Yeah, I was going to say, and just over to you, Martin, obviously, when you look back at that first one and now going in, is there anything that you took from the first one that you might have slightly altered for the second show, or any new ideas that, because obviously it's a learning experience, no doubt every show there's going to be very slight changes that makes it a slightly different experience. So is there anything you took from the first one that you wanted to change a little bit, or even bring on forward and just make it a bit bigger?
No, it was perfect. No, I... No, there's one or two things, like in the room at the one end, there's a bar, which we were planning on having that open, then some sitting tables in front of it. But they weren't used as much, and then they hadn't got the only thing the hotel kind of let me down on was that they didn't have a bar staff member for a couple of hours in the afternoon. So I said, look, don't worry about opening it. There's a lobby bar if people want to go. It's a 30-meter walk. I mean, it's not like you're hiking to the other side of Southampton. So I have changed the floor plan for the tables is being tweaked. Because if I did put in some more vendor tables, I didn't want to lose that sitting area. So if people want to have a sit down and rip a box from Sports Trading Cards UK, who are like and they're the only wax vendor on the day, the show sponsor, and I kept it again to three sponsors. So I'm going on a tangent here. I kept it again to the three sponsors of Sports Trading Cards UK, Third Down Displays, your friends, sponsoring the trade night, and then the Grading Club are there for all the grading needs. And I've kept it to that again because it's supposed to be about the showcases and the cards. And I had a couple of offers from other companies who probably would have paid more money to be present, but I decided that I wanted to keep it small, it not be not be a like a feel like it's a money grab or anything like that. It's small, small 100 tables. I mean, it's not tiny, but yeah. There's little tweaks on the layout, but overall, there wasn't that much to change. I don't think. I wanted to keep it simple. I wanted to keep it showcases and value boxes. I didn't want to bring in a lot of big sponsors who'd be taking up half the room and that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's tweaks, but not too much. Not really that much.
I was going to say, there was one word that I heard a lot of people saying. I'm going to come over to you about it, see if you would agree with this. Was the word community. That's what they use a lot about. It was about the community at the show. Would you agree as well that it was about the people? Obviously, it was about the cards, but whereas some other shows, all they're caring about is making the most amount of money possible for their cards and not really always engaging. But a lot of people went, it was actually for the collector, and it was the community feeling that made it so good to attend.
Well, I said last time that I was on that it's about the showcases and the value boxes. Mm-hmm. And for me, value boxes are where real collecting is, you know, set builders, people who get excited about a out of 199 Son or a 299 Ben White, something like that, strangely. it was so good for, there were a few people who came who said, oh, this is our first show. And they just really enjoyed it because they'd followed accounts on Instagram and then they were able to talk to the people. And one of the other things, as I said, is I'm kind of curating the vendors. So it's people who I know, the good people from the UK hobby who are there, who, you know, they'll share their knowledge with you. People were going up to Fora and chatting to him about different things, about like his sticker knowledge is second only to Paddy's. And you know, everyone was just chatting and everyone had a really good day. And it sounds like no decent deals were done, but I personally did two of my biggest deals I ever have at a card show. There were guys walking around, Flawless was being traded quite freely. I picked up a Messi auto. You know, there was a lot going on at both ends of the scale. So value boxes to high-end stuff, it's all there.
I was going to say, that actually perfectly leads into my next one. I was actually going to come over to DJ and say, what kind of stuff was on offer? Because a lot of people think, especially this, I've been to shows in the past where it's been quite a lot of higher end stuff. And sometimes you walk around and you're like, I'm not really, haven't got the like wallet for that. So was it a good mix of not even just low end to high end, but also vintage to modern? And even, is there other stuff available, like women's in comparison? Because some shows you go to, there's just no women's cards available.
No, it was a great mix. So, I mean, I had, to my right, I had Sasquatch, who had a mix of football and wrestling. To my left, I had TBH Cards, who had, like, some really big cards in his showcase. And he made quite a lot of money on the day. He had a really good day. Across from me was El Toro, with his vintage stuff. Then you had Sports Cards UK. Dan was across there with his vintage. Fora bought mine. What did he bring? 5,000 cards? And then we had sporting cards from Italy. We had some great cards as well. So it was a great mix of stuff. If you're looking for something, you'll find it at Southampton.
Yeah, I think that's the thing of when we go to certain shows, sometimes you pick nothing up. Like, it's natural that lots of sand, but when there is a wide range of mix, that's what everyone looks for. Because for me, I like looking up displays, even if I'm not going to buy something. It might judgment, you might see a vintage card and you're like, oh, actually, you know what? I wonder if there's X player in it. And then you go away and you do a bit of research on it and you find out a lot more. So obviously, going over to you, H, obviously when we walk around shows and even online, it's always great to see that wide range of stuff, because without that, you don't learn about other sets. You don't ask the questions to the people who are selling it, because there could be a card that you've never seen before, but you actually really want to have in your PC?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also regarding, you know, sort of new sets, new releases, seeing some of the first look at some of the, you know, some of the breakers tables, some of the sort of the people that have been in break spots tables that have sort of pulled some of these cards and seen them sort of firsthand. That us, and like you say, along with sort of the wider variety of cards that you see and that you come across, you know, it's always a bonus when there's something you want at a table. But just being able to sort of see, you know, like we've seen Kabooms. I know obviously Martin's a big fan of Kabooms, and just sort of see the different parallels. Obviously, a lot more, in my opinion, you see a lot more graded now than probably used to maybe a year and a half ago at shows. So, you know, raw graded value, high end, you know, there's usually so much stuff there for absolutely anyone. So, yeah, the more variety you've got, the as DJ said, the likelihood you've got of finding, you know, a card at the show. So, yeah, it's good. It's also even better a bonus when there's something that you're after, that you PC, that you're looking to collect. So the more variety, the better. And just seeing a whole load of different things, new releases, vintage, graded, non-graded, raw, whatever that may be. Just having everything so accessible right in front of you there makes it all the more worthwhile to attend these shows.
I was just saying, obviously,
go on. Sorry, no. I was just going to say, and also, you know, we've got 2, 3, 4 Formula One vets.
Yeah, beautiful.
The NFL. It's not just soccer. It's, yeah, you know, there really is that mix of sports. So, and it's not one table of Formula One and then that's it for the show. There was like 2 or 3 dedicated Formula One vendors, but then there was a little sprinkling around as well. So it was good. I mean, I had a good walk around, had a look at what everyone had in their cases and that kind of thing. You know, how people price things is up to them. But one thing that's really important is that everyone who I know that they're fair on their pricing. I didn't want people going in there and, you know, just walking around and going, oh my God, everything's 300% of comps, or, you know, everyone's way over the top. There was, everything was fairly priced. There was a great mix. It's just, I keep on saying it. It was a great day. It really was a great day.
And even though I'm going to say it's about give or take 6 weeks away from the next one, which no doubt will fly around. So how's it looking? Or obviously, because you're blinking, it'll be 2 weeks to the show. So how's it all looking, obviously, for that next show in March? Because it's somehow already the middle of January.
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy period for shows from what, mid-February. I know a lot of guys are going over to Burbank, so you can almost count that as well. You've got Manchester Card Con coming up, then the Yorkshire Card Show, the Dublin Card Show. I'm the only one, thankfully, I think, on that weekend. Then a week later, you've got Milton Keynes, another sports only. I will say, though, if you want to have first pick of the cards, you need to come to Southampton to see them first. And then it goes on. And then I think it ends with the next London show in May. I mean, it's a busy period. It's looking good. I mean, we're a little bit ahead of where we were for the first show, but it's incredible. The 2-3 weeks before the show, things just, they take off, really take off. But if anyone wants to, well, get the tickets early whilst they last, because I am doing a limited number. So they're on Eventbrite. If you look for the Southampton Sports Card Show, that's the place to get them. Also, we have the trade night in the evening, in the same venue. That's going to run from about 5:30. I think last time we left the room at about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the evening. That was a lot of fun as well. And if you have a ticket for the show during the day, then you've got entry into the trade night in the evening. There are some afternoon only tickets because I know some people work on a Saturday morning, so I've done a limited number of afternoon only tickets. And also with the afternoon ticket, it's free entry into the trade night as well. So I'm hoping to. The one thing I would like, actually, I'd hope for there to be maybe 100, 110 people at the trade night in the evening. The last time, you know, there was 40, 50, 60, and then as time went on, it dwindled down a little bit. But hoping for a big trade night, big show, and a great day.
Yeah, obviously, like, you've absolutely sold it well so far. But I've got to say, there's only one person who can actually finish off selling the Southampton, and that is the hype man himself. So why should people be getting down to Southampton, obviously, at the beginning of March?
Good transport links. It's not hard to get to. Pubs, restaurants, the biggest shopping centre ever. If your missus is saying, I don't want to go to a card show, bring her down, give her the credit card. West Quay is about 10 minutes walk away, 1,000 shops, high end. Go in there. Brilliant trade night. Great card sales. Wait a minute. But it's boozy. It's good fun. Come and watch the sport. Buy some cards. Dig through some value boxes. There'll be some big showcases there. Come and have fun. You won't regret it.
I think we might as well just give up. I think we might as well sign the rights over to Paddy at the moment.
He's taking the podcast by storm. He's wiping the floor with us at this.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
He did mention there the travel links as well, though. I mean, it's an hour and 15 minutes from central London, direct train to Southampton, and then it's a 4-minute walk from the station to the venue. I think it's 4 hours from Manchester. It's, you know, it's 15 minutes from International Airport to Southampton Airport Parkway. It's just so easy to access, and then again the train station is virtually on the door of the venue. You 3-4 minute walk and you're already looking at cards. It's perfect.
I was gonna say, that's the main thing, is how I've been to a few shows where you've got to work out how to get there, and I think that sometimes could be the pivotal thing of someone going and not going. They look at it and be like, right, I can easily get to the local station, but then it's getting from the station to the location. And you say, that one's so easy that people be like, well, it's a bit of a no-brainer. I know I can get there easy, and it's only a 5-minute walk, which is then perfect for afterwards when you are leaving, whether it's the next day or that after the trade night, that the station's right next door and you don't have to be getting cabs or wandering along for a while. It's just perfect.
Yeah, the last train back up to London is just after 11 o'clock in the evening. So, you know, you can come down early morning or stay in the hotel the night before and enjoy your night there. Have a great day, stay at the card show, and then 11, quarter past 11, on the train back up to London, to Bristol, to wherever you're going. Southampton's a real central station, so there's no excuse. Travel arrangements is not a reason for not attending, in my view.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be a very popular show, and especially, like you say, everyone, if you haven't got the tickets, I would definitely suggest heading over to Eventbrite now, because they will sell out. It's not a case of when they sell out. It's literally, it's going to be very soon, because, like you say, this car show season's rolling in. Once one show is and people go, oh, it's card show season, they will then look at every single one they can do and they'll just book them. Even if it's 6 weeks before, like this weekend, or I think it's the 27th, I believe, that Manchester Card Con's on. That's when people start booking up a lot of card shows, because you get the fear of missing out on one and they don't want to miss out on the rest. So would you literally, it is a case of, if you know you can make it, book it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And also, I mean, the hotel's got a 240 spot car park as well. If you're driving down, okay, if that fills up, then there's the West Quay car park, which is 5-6 minute walk away. I think it's £7 for a day in there. So it is selling out. It's going to be a great day. And yeah, the next 6 weeks are just going to absolutely fly by. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, like I say, and it's not too far after the payday for end of February as well. So it's not one of them where it's in the middle of the month and you've got to tactically plan it. It's a nice and early show. So only about a week or so after that payday as well.
That's not by mistake.
like we say, we'll, obviously the link is in the description underneath for the Southampton Scholarship and in the bio. It's everything about ticket information. So I do suggest, A, if you're not following already, go and follow it, but also check out the ticket. But the people would hate me if I didn't get an update on the PC and especially them fusions, because I remember you was rattling them off the last time you was in here, and I think it put an extra 45 minutes on the episode near enough by just how many you have. So has there been any more additions into that lovely Fusion PC?
There's been a couple. I've completed the Messies now, which is a big one. I've got all of those in a PSA 10. The pink red, which is the lowest numbered I'm going to, I've actually accumulated two of those now. I've got four of the Ronaldo pink reds, which apparently that was PSA 10 was a pop four, and I had four of them. I'm getting. I bought another Jude pink red last night. The numbers are going down. It's the strange ones that I'm kind of struggling on a little bit. Julio Cesar, out of 45, the blue red. There's a Wesley Schneider orange red, which is non-numbered. There's a few, and I think the most difficult one that I'll find to try and find will be the Trent Alexander-Arnold, the pink red for that. So if anyone's got that and would like to help me finish this set, but I went off. I was just trying to finish the set at one point, and now I've just started trying to collect them all again. Not wanting to sound like a Pokemon advert, but and people say, "Oh, you want to collect? You know, you want to build the set?" And I'm like, "No, I want to collect them all, like 45 of the out of 45s for each player. That's my end game." But it's coming along. I think I've got about 12. I've got a few that are just placeholders, and I'll have to upgrade the 9s for PSA 10s. But yeah, stay tuned to card sales on IG, because when I'm back in a couple of weeks' time, I'm probably going to be putting the display shelves up and start filling those, which is really exciting.
I was going to say, I always just watch the different stories. Probably, another one, there's another. And then I know for every one that goes up on the story, there's another five that's been purchased, not on the story.
But obviously,
it's not just fusions. People actually might think it's just fusions, but there's been some other really top-class pickups as well that you've been sharing, which have definitely caught the eye of most collectors.
Yeah, there's been a few bits. I picked up that Maradona auto a couple of days ago. I can't be 100%, but I believe it's his only one where he's in a Boca Juniors shirt. So the from 2016 Donruss out of 10, so it's gold die cut. And then I've got the Barcelona out of 25 to match, and that's already in a PSA 10. I've been picking up, you know, growing up, because Bournemouth, my hometown team, weren't in the Premier League, Spurs were actually the team that I followed in the Premier. Now Bournemouth are up there, I can let the true colours fly. Best team on the South Coast. Which Paddy won't be happy about that. But I've been picking up a lot of bits of Solanke, and Lewis Cook is another one that's developed into a PC. I've been picking up a few, sounds so blasé the way I say it, I've picked up a couple of Ronaldo CR7 autos. I've had and sold a Zidane one, but I'd love to get a really nice Zidane auto. And then these Ronaldinho autos that are coming out at the moment, I'll probably get one or two of those. Because yeah, he was just different class.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think in terms of wish lists and purchasing, it is simply incredible. That is like highlights of would be most people just having one of them. And then you go, oh, yeah, it's only a few Ronaldo autos. Yeah, it's a couple of Maradonas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a very privileged situation where, I mean, I'm older than most people in the hobby. And I worked hard for the first, I worked hard for the first 15 years. Don't anymore. But no, I worked hard to get my qualifications and experience, and with it came the rewards. And you know, now I'm back to collecting. I can put some of my hard work into a little display case at card shows, and I picked up a few Kabooms as well. And next week on IG, I've got a case of Donruss Teemal at home waiting for me, which, no, my luck, I'll have a Jordan Pickford and a Patrick Schick Kaboom in there. and the Messi 101 auto.
Yeah, well, but wouldn't be surprised if you have another Messi auto to the collection with the Maradonas, the CR7s, and every other legendary player of the game. Talking about legendary players of the game, and I've got to come over to a certain man who is wearing a Stade Rennais shirt and has got the one and only Eduardo Camavinga in the background. Probably Camavinga's number one fan, I would say. Paddy, how many Camavingas have you actually got now? Because I heard he said Redemption's got fulfilled recently as well.
Yeah, Panini came through with the select pit side. I got that this week. And what was the other one? Oh, Immaculate 43. So there's a lot of Camavinga Redemptions out there. Picked up the Kaboom this week, finally. It got to a level where I could afford to spend that money on him. Yeah, too many Camavingas. I'm one Camavinga knee injury away from bankruptcy, I reckon.
Well, I say family should do say, a Charizard can't do his knee, but that's the story for another day. But obviously, that transition for obviously when he was a rookie at Stade Rennais, especially in Merlin, which was a big chase. And now, obviously, being at the Real Madrid in that famous white jersey, it must be a lovely experience to actually follow a player from the French league and then actually end up playing very well, winning everything in the game he can win at club side level. Just must be a great enjoyment to follow his career, especially collecting as well. Just gives that extra incentive as well.
So last season's Champions League running, where he was coming off the bench and having such an impact in these games, I cannot explain to you how amazing it was, because he really did influence a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And for me to kind of have a bit of justification, like, look, he is that good. And for people like who don't really follow them to go, who's that kid? I'm like, that's Camavinga. I've been telling you for 2 years. So, yeah. But, I mean, he's had a few injuries this season. Obviously, the Real Madrid midfield is absolutely stacked, but he's holding his own, and we've got the Euros to come up. I think you could really have a good Euros if he's given the starting berth. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Go on, Martin.
He's the best left back in La Liga, I think, isn't he?
Oh, give over, mate.
I was going to say, I was actually going to say a very similar thing. Yeah, but at least for the French national team, they've got Theo Hernandez, so he's not starting at left back for them. But there's a very strong midfield as well there. So, like I say, is there any other players that you've been delving into instead, like with Camavinga, or is it sole focus now actually is Eduardo Camavinga?
Well, Southampton have a young Argentinian kid called Carlos Alcaraz. He's only really got one card. It's in Chronicles. So I've been trying to find them, but honestly, it's a needle in a haystack job. I sent some cards to SGC last week, all Southampton cards, so we can have some Southampton in the showcase. I'm not buying any Charles de Ketelaere. Jury's still out. We still believe in him, but the jury is out. Yeah, and then I'm collecting David Beckham stickers. Like, I'm trying to do 1995 to 2005. That's good fun hunting for them.
I was going to say, that is a good fun, like, good fun chasing stickers, especially all of a certain player. I was doing it for Dennis Bergkamp, and it's just seeing it and then chasing after it in the better condition, because no doubt you'd be as similar to when I was chasing the bear. You'll get one where it looks like someone's literally ripped it in half, but then one looks immaculate, and then you get in, someone's decided to draw something on the back of the sticker, and you're like, well, that's just ruined that whole thing. Yeah. But talking about pickups, so we've got Maradona, we've got Camavinga. H, please don't tell me there's no pickups, because if it is, you might have to be revoked until after episode 100.
No, there is one. There is one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I literally picked up the other day. It's not arrived yet, but it's a Bergkamp sticker from the Invincible season. PSA 7, so it's not, you know, not exactly the highest grade, but I saw it and it was, yeah, Mike, Marnold cards. But yeah, Bergkamp, Invincible season. So I think the aim is to possibly, hopefully, I know obviously there's a lot of those sort of sticker sets, Fabregas, Henri, obviously have like the sort of the on sticker, I don't know what you, it's on the sticker, what printed orders on the sticker, I don't know what you want to call it, but all from the Invincible season. So the next sort of step might be to try and get a couple of all of those.
Disney sticker.
Say that again, Martin.
Disney sticker.
Disney sticker on in the Invincible season. That's the one, the printed stickers.
You do know they didn't sign that. You're right, you do know that.
No, I thought Lightning McQueen got his tyre or something, and like, I don't know, anything like that. Or with the wing mirror or something like that.
But going back, though, one thing I read during the week, somebody said, wouldn't it have been nice if, like, the voice actor had have signed it? And I know that's difficult because at the theme parks, they all learn how to sign. So when you go and meet the characters, but yeah, I would. Anyway, I digress onto other things.
it's a very popular subject, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
and divided as well.
You know what? I actually really like it because people are very passionate about it, and it's getting people talking, and you know, not everyone has the same point of view on things, which nobody does. So I think it's actually a good thing for the hobby, with how passionate people are about it, how much people believe in it, and you know, if it pulls or pushes us all together in the same direction, then it can only be a good thing.
No, I think that's a great point, especially with Disney. It captures everyone's attention. When they was younger, they watched the films, and some people just looking at the cards, rendering breaks, just because it captures a memory what they had of a certain character, and it gets people into collecting cards. Especially, we all know how big that Disney world is. So even if 0.5% of the people who watch Disney get into the trading card world, and even half of that gets into the sports card trading world, it's going to do wonders for the amount of people and the eyes on it. So it's going to bring a lot of attention, especially the upcoming shows. Obviously, like for example, the London Guard Show, you're going to get a lot of people going there for Disney. While they're there, they might stop at certain Mr. Card Sales with all of these 1,000 plus cards and everything like this. And they might just start there, and then that one card might lead into sports or anything like that. So, Martin, it's one of them that it's a foot in the door for someone, and then they might start seeing everything else. Like, no doubt what most people did, start with stickers, end up on the cards, or start with Pokemon, end up at sports.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've been quite open in my wondering how it's going to hold up long term, but the execution of the set and the release and the hype which has come around with it, and it was released, let's be honest, at the perfect time when there were no soccer releases anyway at the time, and it was so well executed, and hopefully that's what Fanatics and Tops keep on doing with other things. I mean, who's to say with like Luke Littler now being the darts phenom that we don't get a darts chrome, or Ronnie winning his Masters the other night, that we don't get a snooker chrome or something like that. I mean, the market is so huge, and I think that although I run a sports card only show, that's because the demand was there for it. But it doesn't mean that, you know, mixed shows can't go really from strength to strength. And you know, if you collect TCG, well, fantastic. I mean, nobody can look down on you for doing that. Same as if you collect sports, you know. So I think the little bit of animosity that possibly has been around is something that Southampton's going to try and do without, because it's a community day, and bring it all back round to Southampton, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, perfectly done. But obviously, I've got to complete the full house of actually having some pickups as well. And I think everyone gets a bit bored now when I say, oh, it's women's card pickups, because that's all I pick up nowadays. But did hit some few nice cards in breaks and personal boxes. So I hit a Jean Stottier to 75 rookie, a nice Lauren James auto to 150, then an Olga Colmona to 25, obviously the winning goal scorer against England World Cup, and then hit a lovely Vitalis Galazzo gold to 50. So that was a successful weekend. Everyone's got pickups, and look, this is unbelievable market. And this, as he appears from a blaster, which I did actually hit the Golazo Patalas out of to 50. So that's all the pickups done. But obviously, it's been a massive enjoyment, obviously, having everyone on. And obviously, the final closing words before we go to the host of the show himself, the hype man can do a little, his last little job. Obviously, no doubt he's going to be asking for a cut of ticket sales, no doubt, after this one, or at least an ice cold, refreshing beverage at the next show. So, Paddy, before we give Martin the floor, is there anything you'd like to say to the people and also obviously about the Southampton Card Show?
Thanks for having me on again. March the 2nd, Southampton Card Show. Be there. It's going to be a brilliant day. Follow DJN UK and whatnot, because I think me and Card Sales are going to be doing some stuff on their scene as well. Yeah, keep collecting. Enjoy the hobby.
I was going to say, it's absolutely brilliant words. And all the links and links below. So if you're on the Instagram post, YouTube, wherever you want to have the podcast, but especially on Instagram, if you follow below, see DJ and be under there, hit that little follow on it, and then obviously go over to whatnot as well. But Martin, I was going to say, you can take the floor here, but it's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, I know. This is why he's the best in the biz. He really is. Yeah, March 2nd, it's going to be another, it's shaping up to be another really, really good show. It's cards, value boxes, showcases, the community, the people who make it. And, you know, we're nothing without the other people who are in the card community. Come on down. If it's your first show, if it's your 100th show, it's just such a good day.
Yeah, fantastic. And obviously, H, obviously got to let you have a little say as well at the end. We can't just go out without saying hello, you saying a nice little bye. So any other messages for the people? Because this is a very hard act to follow. I might just give up after your speech.
I'd about to say, I think I'm like third in the pecking order at this point. We've done sort of the end speeches. But no, I think, you know, we sort of can't have said any more positive news about Southampton. I think I myself definitely am going to try and get down to the show. Obviously missed out on the first one, so definitely don't want to miss out on the second. But it's set to be a fantastic show again. Obviously Martin and Paddy definitely put it up in good light. Massively looking forward to it. And, you know, as we've said, thank you very much both of you for coming on. Roll on Southampton.
Like I say, all the links will be down below. We recommend then to get your tickets as soon as possible before it sells out. And obviously, when you're there, have a great time as well. Literally, just speak to people. And that's the number one thing. Just talk to people. That's how you learn so much more about the hobby. Get to know people as well. Because I've done it before, where you start talking to someone, you realise you live 15 minutes down the road from them. And then you end up just meeting up other times, getting some deals done, having a drink and everything like that. So just get to know the community. And then you'll see each other at other shows. You know, might say, you know what, I'll travel down with you. And that's the whole thing about the community experience, is to get to know everyone. But most importantly, just see what everyone's collecting. And you might be able to help them out of a card. They will help you out in the future. But like we say, a massive thank you for every single person who's either watched along on YouTube or Spotify, or listened along on Apple as well. But like we say, if you do need any card supplies, custom card stands, or grade preparation kits, do head over to Third Down Displays to get 10% off using TTP10. But most importantly, hope everyone out there is buying, selling, trading, and that good jazz, and happy hobbying, and good night.